Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin a three-part study titled 2016 Prophecy Watch List. God has told us why He gave us Bible prophecy. In Isaiah chapter 44, verses 6 through 8, the Lord makes it clear that He alone knows the future and can tell us without error before things happen. When you read these things in newspapers and you see them on TV from astrologers, mediums, and those type of people, they are not 100% correct, but God is. And on that basis, we know that all other gods are false and that the God of the Bible is true. Isaiah 44, verses 6 through 8 says, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And who, as I, shall call and shall declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come? Let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any." Every time I speak to an atheist, I appeal to the Bible and Bible prophecy and creation. Because the Bible itself says that only by believing that the Word of God is the Word of God and not of man can we be saved. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 tells us, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." If you reject the existence of God, then you'll never accept creation. It requires a creator. And you'll cling to the random chance nonsense of Darwinian theory. But God repeatedly appealed to His proof as being that of prophecy and creation. We're told in Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 through 11, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it." And along with prophecy, you have this statement in Romans chapter 1, verses 19 through 22. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." And that should always be our spiritual double-barreled shotgun when dealing with those who reject the existence of God. But as we present this three-part study, this is also important for the Christian. It's not just to be used in witnessing, but it is a way to build your faith. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So that'll be our theme for this prophecy study for the Christian who is listening. If you are ignoring Bible prophecy or being taught falsely, you are losing out on God's intended method for building your faith into a mature, informed, and authentic faith in the God of prophecy, the God of the Bible. Jesus Christ is that God who was manifest in the flesh to be the Savior of the world. So now we begin part one of three with that background. And this study is titled 2016 Prophecy Watch List.
Take a little break from our Ephesians study. We finished chapter one and wanted to take a week to bring everybody onto the same page, what's going on in the world. Our prophecy watch list is what we're going to call this today. Folks, as a Christian, you obviously are theists. You believe in God. You believe in the infallibility of the Word of God. But you're surrounded by people, even some of whom claim to be Christian, who live like practical atheists.
Yeah.
They do not have the worldview or the mindset that the Bible is the infallible Word of God, and they don't have the mindset that... And let me tell you something, you're robbing yourself this morning. Listen, if you don't take in what we're talking about this morning and understand the implications, you are robbing yourself of what God Himself says He has given to prove to you that He's real. That people want to base God in their life on their feelings. And folks, your feelings will trick you and they'll lead you astray.
Amen.
And they try to base it on their own experience. And that's the person, whenever they lose someone important in their life, says, well, where was God when that happened? You should have known the answer to that question before you lost them.
Yes. Amen.
You're going to lose people, folks. You hear me?
Yeah.
Right.
Human beings are going to let you down.
Amen.
Even professing Christians and preachers will turn out to be liars.
Yeah.
Why? Because God never told you to get your eye on them. They're human beings.
Amen.
What do we get our eye on? We could just say, God. Well, that's just a generic answer, because God Himself said, get your eyes on the book.
Amen.
And that itself can be a generic answer. There are churches all over the world today who will wave that book around and say, I believe this book is the Word of God, blah, blah. And then they don't teach you a lick of it. And their people continue to be as ignorant as ever. It's all talk. And what I'm telling you is, we as a church want you to understand the book.
Amen.
Not Greg, not feelings, not anything, not any preacher, not any ministry. It's the book.
Amen.
And so then when you look at the world, and if you're looking at the world today and you don't understand the implications of what you're seeing happening around you, there's something wrong with you spiritually.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that to make anybody mad, and I'm not pointing at anyone this morning. If I'm preaching at you, don't say amen, oh me, and raise your hand. It's between you and God.
Amen.
But you need to ask yourself, am I aware? Am I awake? Or am I walking through life like a, I was going to say sleepwalking, but I think I look more like a zombie when I do. Either way, it's a good, example of what a lot of Christians are walking through life like that. What's going on?
When do we eat?
Shouldn't be the way it is. And why? Because God has given us, He has told us the future.
Yeah.
And then when we see it coming to pass, knowing that that was never given to you in any other holy book, and no other religious leader or religion, it's one God, one faith, one baptism, one Lord of all, but that one faith, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
And it's not just a cloud, pie in the sky saying. It really comes from you studying the Word of God and understanding the Word of God, including Bible prophecy.
Yes.
And we're going to start Matthew 24:42. And I want you to see something. Beginning in Matthew 24:42, and verse 42 says this, read it with me. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. What's the first word?
Watch.
I'm just telling you because I love you. If you're not aware of what's going on in the world today, you're disobeying Jesus Christ. He commands you to watch. And Christians, I'm sorry, Christians by and large today don't watch. They have no idea what's going on right under their noses. Had somebody ask me this week, well, what in the world happened? How did they get control of our schools? And how did they get control of our government? I was like, I try to be nice sometimes, you know? So I didn't really answer the question because I wanted to say, if you'd been awake and looking around you, you'd saw how it happened. It happened right out in the open. And what happened? Well, Christians were too busy, you know, with their lives to do anything. And you didn't want to offend anybody, and you were brainwashed into thinking that your children belong to the U.S. government. And so parents believe it's their duty to give their children over to a bunch of strangers they don't know, mostly unsaved people, with curriculum written by all sorts of godless and including sodomite activists.
Yeah, right.
Who are wanting to brainwash your children. They want the children. Everybody going back to Hitler and Stalin and Lenin knew that if they could get a hold of your children, they had your country.
Yeah.
We're going to see children and money. That's two of the big ones. But as Jesus teaches on prophecy, he repeatedly tells his hearers to what?
Watch.
Now, I have to throw this in here. Sometimes it's in the middle of him telling the future, which is great. But like Matthew 24... most of Matthew 24, he's talking about the tribulation period. And these goofballs who try to put the church in there, it's all about people in Judea observing the Sabbath. If you read it closely, you'll see that.
Amen.
That's not you. Mm-hmm. But as he's teaching, then he'll stop and say, watch therefore. Let's go back to that. Watch therefore. There is for a reason. It's there for a reason. Why? Because of what he just said. Now he's stopping in light of what I just told you about the future. You, right now, you watch. See that? He does it again. Matthew 25, 13, read that. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And folks, that's not about the tribulation saints. All the tribulation saints have to do is pick up the book of Daniel, read chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, and do the math, and they'll know when he's coming.
Amen.
You say, well, then they'll know when he's coming? Well, most of them will be killed before he comes, so there won't be very many people who even have that access and that knowledge at the second coming. But you and I, we can see the handwritings on the wall. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And we can watch. And because we can watch and see what's going on, we can be excited. Now, another interjection here. Some of you have surrounded yourself with carnal people. You fill your mind with carnal, worldly music. You fill your mind and heart with carnal books, carnal magazines, carnal, worldly entertainment, carnal, carnal, carnal. And you expect God to just pour out His Spirit and just make you... It ain't going to work. No, it's just like if all you eat is sugar. I mean, if all I ate for the next 3 or 4 days was sugar, I'd be in the hospital. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm borderline diabetic. So if I were to just eat sugar for two, I'd put the seal on the deal. I'd be off the border. I'd be a diabetic. I'd be in a coma probably. Yeah, what you eat matters. Amen?
Right.
Well, same thing's true about Scripture. What you pull in matters. So if it's Scripture you're pulling in and you're feeding on, it's going to make a huge difference in your life. But if you chase the Scripture with sugar water, if you chase the Scripture with all your time being around carnal people with carnal music, carnal TV, carnal books, carnal this, folks, it's going to show. Now, I have to qualify what I'm saying. I'm not saying you only read the Bible. I read books by unsaved people. I do a lot of it's for research. But that's the question is, why are you reading that stuff? What is their edifying value? If you should always ask yourself, what am I getting out of this? Jenny will come up every once in a while and say, why are you watching that? Because, you know, well, I can't show you. There's been videos and sometimes there's short clips of things, and I'll watch, and it's a bad stuff or whatever. And like, I don't know, there was the one with the girl, you know, chanting, keep your hate speech off our campus, you know, this stuff, and she was about ready to throw the TV out of the house because I kept hitting that. But there's a reason for watching those things if you're looking for facts and information. I'm reading a book now that I wanted to read for years called None Dare Call It Conspiracy. Great book, great book.
Amen.
And I've read portions of it, but I never read it all the way through, so I'm doing that. Now, it's not about Bible prophecy, but it is about the world I live in. And then if you read with the knowledge of Scripture while I'm reading it, you connect the dots. See the difference there? There's a difference between doing that and just picking up some smut. And folks, I don't know if anybody like this here. You may be, but I don't know it. So I feel free to say this without thinking I'm stepping on your toes on purpose. Some Christians spend all their time keeping up with the celebrities. Why waste your life? Why are you wasting your life like that? Who gives a flip about the celebrities? So they call them stars. Do you know that's another word for gods? They worship the stars, and they name the stars what? The gods. That's what they worship. And there's some Christians, we're not supposed to be watching Hollywood. Jesus is talking about watching what's going on in the world. Now, what Hollywood is a piece of the puzzle that you keep your eye on, but not for entertainment purposes, but for education and research purposes. So, what do we watch for is the question. What do we watch for? And we'll give you some things to watch for. I want you to take note of these. Some of you have automatic recall and don't have to take notes. God bless you. But some of you need to take notes. And by the way, we've got a bunch of notepads and pencils up here. Anybody needs one, and you can take notes. And I had somebody one time tell me, I love your preaching, but it's like 2 or 3 days later, I can't remember what you said. I said, well, number one, we put them online so you can watch them again. Number two, take notes. But so what do we watch for? We watch for Jews to continue Aliyah. That's number one. Now, I'm not putting these in like numeric order of importance or anything. But as I look at things, that's number one on my list. Jews going home is what that means. Aliyah. Jews returning home. Prophesied in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 18. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places. And the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. That used to be mocked in liberal seminaries until it came true. And the Jews became a nation in Israel again. Now it's mocked by fools. You hear anybody mocking Israel in their land and the Jews going home, turn them off. They're a fool. And I mean preachers.
Amen.
This happened just few months ago, but this is constantly Israel news. You don't see this in America. You won't see this on your news in America.
Shalom, exactly 1 year after Operation Protective Edge, 221 Olim, new immigrants are here, coming home, coming to Israel. Altogether, 32 families and 53 singles from 14 states of North America are here. Among the Olim are 95 children, 49 girls and 46 boys who are immigrating with their parents. About one quarter of the Olim arriving on the flight have decided to settle in Israel's periphery as part of the Nefesh Benefesh and Keren Kayemet Israel's Go North and Go South programs. We're here to greet them. We're here to tell them, welcome home.
It's flight number 53. Even though the flight itself seems to become routinized, but the emotions are very new. And to see the faces of these Olim, It's very emotional. You've been in touch with these Olim sometimes for a year, 2 years before their Aliyah. And to see this day for them happen and actualize is very emotional.
You can see that the Zionism and the making of Aliyah is not only the part of our history, it's our time. We will do it and we will continue to do it. This is the future of the state of Israel.
Excuse me, you made Aliyah already. You got your part.
I get to be part of the mitzvah and help people out. What better mitzvah can there be? Every single time. It's inspiring. It's tears. It's emotional. Today's my 11th year anniversary of being one of them. And every time, it's the same thing.
So you get used to sites like this?
You never get used to it. You always get excited every single time. When you see people stepping off that plane, it's a sound of victory for the Jewish people.
And we're talking here about also people, many of them, who are actually going out to the periphery.
Well, the periphery, and it's important. It's, you know, Zionism, people started in the periphery because...
It's talking about the north and south unpopulated areas, periphery.
You got to have human beings there to make it important. And these people coming from North America are showing that they're part of the true spirit of 21st century Zionism.
So as you can see, it's very exciting what's happening here today. Aliyah stories of this Nefesh B'Nefesh flight of the Olim that we accompanied from JFK to Israel back home.
Now, I'll tell you, if that doesn't excite you, there's something wrong with you. You don't understand Scripture. You don't understand what's going on in the world. And some of you may have been listening to these YouTube goofballs who are out there trying to convince everybody that Israel is not a legitimate nation and not a legitimate fulfillment of prophecy. Turn the goofballs off. Amen. They're robbing you of a very important confirmation of God's Word. It's one of the greatest evidences of the existence of God is the nation of Israel. The very fact that He has preserved them as a nation, as a culture, with a language, and even a religion, even though we'd like to see them all saved, the fact that He has preserved that nation that way is unprecedented.
Amen. Right.
And then, after 2,000 years of being outside of their territory, God left that place empty all that time. All this nonsense about the Palestinian state and all that, there was never a Palestinian state there. It was a place that was Mark Twain and people like that went over there and visited, and they said it was a wasteland. There were not very many people, and it was a wasteland. But then when it was God's timing, and we've got a video called The Hope. It's put out by Pat Robertson's son. I can't remember his name, but it's very well done. And it shows from the mid-19th century until the fulfillment of prophecy, how that God brought Israel back into the land. And there's no other explanation except for the hand of God.
Amen.
And now to see them all going home, and I'm telling you folks, what you're watching is the preparation for the final Aliyah. After the rapture, the hammer is going to fall, and the 5 or 6 million Jews in America are all going to go over there within weeks. That's what's, and you're seeing it preparing to happen. So meanwhile, we watch for the intensity of hatred of Israel to continue to rise, and that includes the apostate preachers in America.
Amen.
Apostate preachers in America have rejected the Bible. They reject dispensationalism, so they don't understand what they're reading, and they've rejected Israel, and they've turned on Israel.
Yeah.
And they say, I'm not anti-Semitic, I'm anti-Israel, or I'm anti-Zionist. And the fact is, they're anti-Semitic. It's anti-Semitism just by another name. It's a good excuse to hate those dirty Jews and to blame the Jews for everything that's going on in the world. And it's just hilarious to hear people say, oh, the Jews control the money and the Jews control everything. It's just ridiculous. Rockefellers aren't Jews.
Amen.
Ted Turner's not a Jew.
Amen.
Barack Obama's not a Jew. Amen.
Amen.
He's only half black too, so don't get too excited about having your first black president. I know, I'm sure he's half. I'd love to have a good black president like Alan West. You ever seen that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, we get that's a real man there, you know. Not one of these guys that throws like this, you know. That's how Obama throws a baseball. I want a real man, a real man. Black, white, red, yellow, doesn't matter. We want a real man. Psalm 83, 2 and 3 says this. For lo, this is talking about Israel. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult And they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. That isn't just prophecy. That's happening now. The United Nations has committees and groups that meet in Dubai, for example. They've met at least two or three times, condemning Zionism as racism and condemning the state of Israel. It's happening before your eyes. It continues, verse 4, they have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation. Listen to the speeches coming out of Iran. Listen to the speeches coming out of Saudi Arabia. Listen to the speeches coming out of Afghanistan. Listen to the speeches coming out of Turkey. Listen to the speeches coming out of almost any Muslim majority nation.
Yeah. Amen.
And I want to throw this in free of charge. If you don't understand that allowing immigration of people who hate America and hate Jesus Christ, if you don't understand that is national suicide, you got something wrong with your mental faculties.
Amen.
America is a nation of immigrants, but it was always immigrants who loved America.
Amen.
When immigrants came here in the past, they dropped to their knees and kissed the ground and praised God.
Amen.
Now they say, Allah Akbar. And they want to blow you up, and don't tell me otherwise. I don't buy this, oh, only a small percentage of Muslims. Only a small percentage of Muslims may kill you with their own hands, but the rest of them are like the Nazis.
Yeah.
And if you study Nazism, only a small percentage of Nazis ever killed a Jew.
Wow.
The rest of them paid for it, funded it. And that's what's going on with Muslims and Islam in America today.
Yeah.
Verse 5, for they have consulted together with one consent, they are confederate against thee. And that confederacy is going to come together in Ezekiel 38, and there's going to be the Gog-Magog war, and I believe it's going to happen either before the rapture or sometime right after the rapture, when the whole, what we call Muslim majority nations will join with Turkey, which is now Muslim majority controlled, and Russia, and come down against Israel.
Amen.
So all stages being set. So we watch for consolidation of the United Nations against Israel. And you're seeing it now. You don't even have to watch in the future. It's actually happening right now. And this was prophesied in Psalm 2. We studied Psalm 2 some months ago. The kings of the earth, verses 2 and 3. Kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. How many of you have heard of the UN Security Council?
Yeah.
it's like yesterday's news, or tomorrow's newspaper, I should say. The Bible is an amazing book, folks.
Amen.
It's amazing. The language is even the same. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. I'll come back to that in a second. Saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. The word anointed means that the Spirit of God is on that person moving them. You and I have an anointing. This is a different anointing. And the anointed are under the hand of God being drawn back to their land. Zechariah, and I believe it's Zechariah 13, says that one third will survive. And that one third will be saved, Romans 11, 25 to 27. That's why when I see this Elijah going on, I have mixed emotions, to be honest with you, because it thrills me to see folks be able to get their homeland back, and it thrills me to see the prophecy being fulfilled. But I look and I wonder which ones of those are going to survive. And it's real, folks. Numbers 23, 9, even Balaam under the anointing of God. He was a false prophet.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.